Our New Testament lesson for today is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not even the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is the word of our Lord. Jesus said that he did not come to end the law, but he came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture points to Christ. All Scripture points to our relationship with Christ. Think about it. Where can you read in Scripture without seeing Christ? When Joseph was a boy, he was a favorite of his father. God said, "This is my son, my beloved son, whom I love. Listen to him." Joseph was taken by his brothers and thrown into a well and sold into slavery. Joseph, a boy of Israel, a son of Israel, was given to Gentiles. Jesus Christ was taken and given to the Roman Gentiles. Joseph was thrown into prison. Jesus was thrown into prison. But when Joseph's brothers came during the great famine, and Joseph had risen to a point of leadership in Egypt, Joseph forgave his brothers of their sin. And Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." All of Scripture points to Christ. But Christ came to fulfill the promises of God, and God always keeps his promises. But God is not asking something new of you. God is not asking more of you than he has asked of people before. If you look at the Scripture that Rick read a little while ago, it gives illumination on our scripture today. In here it said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." What does that mean? You are the light of the world. How can you be the light of the world? What is it you are to do? Well, Scripture tells us what that means. If we look back into the book of Isaiah, what Rick read just a little while ago, he said, God is talking to the people of Israel. They're talking about fasting. They're saying, "God, we come to you. We worship you in the temple. And where are you? We come and we pray to you. We lift our prayers. And where are you?" And God said, "You come and fast on a day that you have beaten your servants. You come and fast on a day that you have cheated. You come and fast on the day that you have acted the way that you act. I don't hear you." But what he said was, "Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide for the poor, the wanderer in the shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like dawn." That's in Isaiah 58:8. "Then your light will break forth like dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you." And he goes on down to verse 10. It says, "If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and He will satisfy your needs." We don't become the light in the community. We don't become the light in the world by saying nice things in church, by praising God when we're around Christians. We become the light in the world when we meet adversity with love, when we meet adversity with peace. We become the light in the world when we dare to be different, not just from the people in the world, but different from that humanness that wells up within us when we are confronted with the world, when we overcome that difference with the light of Jesus Christ. That's when we become the light in the world. And then when we do that, we are the salt that will flavor the world and change the taste of the world and change the very structure of the community and of our families and of our people that we are surrounded with, our people at work. As I've told you before, if people don't see a distinct difference of us in us out in the world, why in the world would they come to church with us to find something different? It is up to us to be that different nature, that thing that is different from human nature, that person who loves God so much that we will give up our own instincts, our own will, our own urges, our own needs to satisfy our Lord, to be the light, to be the salt. And this is something that God has been working with us for thousands of years. This is the call that God gave the words to the prophet Isaiah to tell his people that I don't want you standing up in the temple and proclaiming my name, and I don't want you standing up in the temple and praising me. I want you being in the world and living me. I want you to be in the world and live out your faith. Jesus Christ is calling us to join him in being the fulfillment of the law, to be the fulfillment of prophecy. I was talking to a man about a week ago. Actually, it was the week before last. I was talking to him on a Friday, and Greg would come into my friend's pawn shop in Front Royal, and he would talk about his faith, and he would talk about the Bible, and he would argue with my friend Ralph about the Bible all the time, because Greg always had a very difficult time with predestination. It doesn't matter how many times in the Bible it says you were predestined. I knew you before you were in the womb. Greg would say, well, you mean I got to tell my daughter, because God didn't happen to choose her, that she's going to go to hell? And he said, well, God did choose your daughter. She believes in Christ. And he said, but what if she didn't? And I said, well, she did. And so that Friday, Greg was talking to us about this, and he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, a retired policeman, 58 years old, and he went out that Sunday and spent time with his family playing gospel music, and they stayed home from church that day because they wanted to gather as a family, and they watched a sermon on television and sang, and they all played musical instruments, did bluegrass gospel, and his father and his mother and his sisters and brothers, and they all joined together. And then early Monday morning, they took Greg to the hospital, and he had a hernia in his colon where he had stomach bypass earlier, and some scar tissue had acted badly, I guess, and he passed away last week after his intestine had died. But he was there expressing his faith and talking about how much he loved Jesus Christ. Greg was, to his very last day, being the light in the world, sharing the gospel. He would go out, and anybody who would listen, he would tell them about his love for Jesus Christ. He would tell them about how much he cared about him. And people who knew Greg as a policeman knew that he was a loving guy, that he cared for people, but could be tough when he needed to be. And but he was a guy who went out, and he didn't care where you stood, what you thought about it. He was going to tell you about the difference that Christ made in his life. And he had people walk away from him. He had people push him away. He had people curse at him. But he was determined to tell people what a difference Christ made in his life. And I was very privileged to know him. I wasn't a close friend of his, but I was somebody who had just known who he was all, you know, most of his life. I think you can think of people who make a difference like that in the world. But the important thing is the difference that they make in our lives. It is their witness that reinforces our witness. It is your witness, your willingness to be the light in the world, to be the person who is a little bit different, who is led by something other than the normal things that people in our lives are led by. Greed, desire, hunger, thirst, anger, drive. Not necessarily bad things, but things that people allow to control their lives. When what Christ is saying, we are to be the salt in the world. We are to flavor the world. We are to make the world taste differently. We are to make the world feel differently. We are to make the world look differently. And he's saying, if you've lost your saltiness, then it's nothing. What he's saying is, if we go into the world, we can be the most devout Christians that are around, but if we don't act as the salt, if we don't change the flavor of the community, if we don't make a difference, then we've lost our flavor, saltiness. And he said it's to be trampled on by men. And likewise, he's saying that we are to be the light in the world. And the light is something that everybody can see. The light is not something that's hidden in a basket. Saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to stay home and listen to it on the radio or watch it on the television, not participate in church, not be part of a Christian community. That I am going to just, you know, I spend time with God when I walk in the woods and I'm going to keep it to myself. Christ says that's not okay. Christ says we are to live into community and we are to make a difference in the world. We are to be the salt that can be tasted and the light that can be seen. Salt without taste and light hidden under a bowl are of no value. It can't be used by God. God's been saying this, said this to the prophet Isaiah. God said this to Moses. God said this to you. Amen.